I want to talk about some of the unique characteristics of cardiac muscle, and I hope that you remember some of this from AMP1. If you remember, there are three different kinds of muscle. There's skeletal muscle, there's cardiac muscle, and there's smooth muscle. So we're going to focus on cardiac muscle, which is, of course, only found in the heart. First of all, cardiac muscle is totally aerobic, and what that means is that it requires oxygen in order to function. If it is deprived of oxygen, cardiac muscle cannot survive. To help with this situation, cardiac muscle tends to have a high level of myoglobin in it. And again, if you remember back from ANP1, myoglobin's function is to sort of help store oxygen within the muscle so that it keeps that muscle, keeps that oxygen available for the muscle to use. Another difference between cardiac muscle and some of the other types of muscle is the fiber arrangement, or the arrangement of the actual muscle cells. The cardiac muscle cells tend to be shorter than skeletal muscles. They're not as large as the skeletal muscles, and they do tend to be branched. So those are some of the differences that exist between cardiac muscle and, for example, the skeletal muscle. Some other characteristics of cardiac muscle: they are very high in mitochondria. They have many of those organelles, the mitochondria, which of course are the power generators of the muscle. These are where the ATP is created, and that ATP of course is required by the cardiac muscle to keep the muscle contracting. And as I mentioned before, myoglobin is found in these muscles, again, to help store oxygen and keep that oxygen readily available to the cardiac muscle. And also, the cardiac muscles tend to have a very extensive blood supply. And this goes back again to the fact that these muscles are totally aerobic. They are dependent on a high level of oxygen present at all times, and that blood vessel supply is there to help with that. Another characteristic of cardiac muscle is that they are connected to one another by specialized structures called intercalated discs. And you can think of these discs as having a few different functions. One is that they, of course, attach the cardiac cells to each other and provide a very stable muscle tissue within the heart. But they also do something very interesting. They allow action potentials to travel from one cardiac cell to the next. So instead of having a motor neuron required to go to each and every cardiac cell in the heart, instead the cardiac muscle cells can pass action potentials or impulses from to each other. And by doing this, they can send a message around to the heart. This helps in allowing the heart to beat or to contract in a coordinated fashion. All right. Another difference between cardiac muscle and other muscles is the way they deal with action potentials. And what I want to state primarily about this is that cardiac muscle cannot sustain a contraction. It can't go into tetanus the way a skeletal muscle can. And this is good, because if you think about it, if your muscle, the muscle of your heart, were to contract and remain contracted, it would not be very effective at moving blood through your heart, or through your body, excuse me. So the cardiac muscle cannot sustain a contraction. It contracts, it immediately relaxes, and then it goes through another cycle again to contract and relax and contract and relax, and so on.